You are listening to BensTorah.com.
When it comes to the concept of curing people from their disease, there's a famous makor which everybody has heard of, has read about. It's a pasuk in the Chumash, and that is the pasuk of Rapi Yarape. Hashem says if a person is injured, sick, you have to give them medical therapy to cure them from their illness, their disease, their wound. And the Gemara says from here, Hashem gave a divine permissibility, a rishus, as well as a divine responsibility, a chiv, upon doctors, as the Ramban interprets it, to treat people medically if they have a disease or a sickness or some type of wound that requires medical intervention. The theological permissibility is being granted by this pasuk. We shouldn't say if God might have caused the injury or the illness, who are we to cure it? God's telling you, do not think that way. You have the responsibility to react to disease and cure what you feel you're able to cure based upon the technology available to you. That's your hischaivus, that's your responsibility. Do not think back theologically why the person got this initially. That's none of your business. That has nothing to do with your reaction to it. And from here we learn the mitzvah deraisa of anybody who's expert in the world of medical care. Doctor, nurse, PA, all the technologists involved in taking care of medical cures for people, whatever your specialty, whatever you do to involve yourself to help cure a person from their disease, their sickness, or a wound they received, or perhaps even to prevent getting sick by various types of medical discoveries you have in laboratories, testing certain types of medicines that can serve as a preventive measure that you should not contract this disease in the future. For instance, the flu shots we take as an example. All of this comes under the concept of Rapi Arape. As Rav Arbech says, not only is Rapi Arape curative medicine, but it applies also to medical care that serves as a format of preventing sickness initially. Preventive care is also part of Rapi Arape on a deraisa level. Another pasuk that's also used by Chazal for treating people medically, the pasuk Hashivosola, Hashav Saguf, returning a person to their body, to themselves, to the health that they had beforehand. Two different deraisa psukim to tell you the mitzvah of treating people with medical care. There's a lav lo samar adam riacha. We can't stand by as a medical expert and let somebody die if we're able to intervene and prevent them from dying and have the ability to cure them from disease. All of these are very famous biblical mandates, ases velos ases, from which we derive the importance of practicing medicine at the divine rishus, behest, and halachic chiyuv given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is given, this is the halacha lemaaseh, this is the way we paskin, to the point that many of the gedolim point out, the Chidah summarizes it, that if God forbid a person does not take medical care available to them to help prevent or perhaps to cure them from whatever disease syndrome they have, and they die as a result of not being medically treated, purposely by them not wanting to do medical care, you're basically mischai ben nafshach, as the Shulchan Aruch says, you're responsible for having caused your death, as if you committed suicide. So quite obviously, this is a very serious matter. Medicine must be practiced. The chiyuv arapi arapi applies not only to the doctor practicing the medicine, but applies to the patient to receive medical help. This pasuk tells us the doctor must treat and the patient must seek treatment in order to resolve their medical problems. This is given halach lamasa. This is paskin in Shulchan Aruch. This has been the minhag of Klal Yisrael for thousands of years, as we see from the historical narratives that people went to doctors thousands and thousands of years ago based upon these psukim and these specific sources. What I want to mention as an addendum to this, besides the concept of medical care, is that in the concept of medical care, whether you're basically taking medicines that have been developed that have the ability to fight or kill a specific disease, a bacteria, a virus that's infecting a person's body, through research and development, you come to the knowledge of producing such types of pharmaceuticals, or, for instance, you developed certain types of medicines that are able to enhance your body's ability to fight disease over time, all different types of hormones, medicines, certain vitamin regimens that have been developed over the years for both preventive medical care as well as curative medical care as well. The research and development in the field, even though you're not going to be the actual person who is the clinician treating the patient, but to research and develop all the medical phenomena that are available to cure and prevent disease comes under not only Rapi Arape to cure the patient in the bigger picture, but there's another medical source in the Torah that is equally important for many different reasons. And the pasuk I'm referring to is the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, when Hashem initially created Adam v'Chava, and he told them they're being created B'Tzelem Elokim. Hashem then told them that in the first mitzvah, Deraisa mentioned the Torah, the mitzvah of Peruvu, to cause the reproduction to take place. Mankind should fill the entire earth. And then it says, V'kivshua, I want you to conquer the earth that I gave you as the planet upon which to live. You have to conquer it as well. Now, what I want to point out, this concept of conquering has a very unique connotation towards it. The concept of conquering, according to the Ramban, just to quote the Ramban over here, is the following. What is the concept of conquering? The concept of conquering is, as the Ramban says, is Hashem gave human beings the dominion over the world, the use of animals, insects, creeping things for the benefit of mankind. To subdue the earth, kibush olam, means to basically master and basically develop an ability of understanding how the scientific phenomena of this world works. Our tzelem elokim, capacity of Hashem, gives us the ability to perceive the divine mind of Hashem and be able to figure out the scientific chachma that Hashem used in creating our universe and giving it us the ability to understand how it works, and then to figure out how to use this for the benefit of mankind at large. We have the chiyuv, Rav Hirsch says, to master and appropriate, transform the earth and its products into any form of human purposes that's useful for mankind. We have dominion over all the various creatures Hashem put on the face of this earth, to use them for the benefit of mankind, not only for the purposes of nourishment or for clothing, but to basically use them for the purposes of pursuing scientific experimentation, to see how and what we can do with the various types of medicines and cures we bring into existence laboratory, to first try them on the animal kingdom to see how they react. And if they have a positive reaction, then to have the ability by doing such to then use it for the cure of disease of mankind as well. This concept, therefore, of kibush olam gives us total mastery of the actual physical earth itself. To quote Rav Monk's further elaboration upon this, Rav Monk, he says the following. Kibush olam is the creation as it must be able to reach its full perfection and must contain the intrinsic makeup of all the necessary elements to do so. It's up to man to determine what these elements are, to isolate them, to bring them into action in order to see the work of the Shesh Be'abreshes of creation brought to complete perfection. In fact, what they are saying is that the concept of being Kibush Olam, analyzing the universe and creating things which will benefit mankind on all different types of technical levels, technological levels, the concept of medical cures and medical and disease prevention, whatever we can do using the chacham we have in Maaseh Bereishis, we're mandated based upon a tzav deraisa, as Rav Soloveitchik used to say as well, a divine mandate that's a mitzvah klali. Whatever we can do to help mankind in our technological analysis and our various types of laboratory experiments, which bring all types of useful technology into existence to benefit mankind, we're mechuyev according to the Torah law of kibush olam to accomplish it. Rav Monk gave his definition, I just quoted, and in actuality, what they are paraphrasing is another Medrash Chazal. On the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, on the pasuk Baruch Lekim Lasos, Chazal said, what do you mean Lasos, to do? The man is supposed to be a shutta b'Hashem b'Maaseh Bereishis, we're supposed to be a partner with Hashem in the creation of the world. We have to do the hashlama, the completion of Maaseh Bereishis for the benefit of mankind. Hashem left to us to complete the job in many different areas, So we'll be actually be active partners with Hashem when it comes to Masa Bereishis. This concept, this Chachma, especially besides all other toxic technologies, has tremendous significance as it relates to medical care, medical treatment, prevention of disease. This is one of the activities of mankind when it comes to being a Shutta by Masa Bereishis. How interesting it is how many Gedolim, who were Tanoim, Amoraim, Rishonim and Achronim, besides being Gedole HaTorah B'chol HaTorah Kula, also were doctors on the side, treating people medically with the Chochmas, the medicine of their time, as their Hishtatvus of being a Shutup and Masa Bereishis. One of the most famous, which everybody knows about, is the Rambam was a doctor, a world-famous doctor during his historical period of time, one of the biggest doctors in his period. He wrote many medical texts, which we have availability to see today, that have been printed. And for that matter, we can go through the list. I mean, the Ramban, Nachmanides, was also a doctor. He was an infertility specialist, as Chazal tell us. Each one had their hishtatvus in being a shutta b'masa bereishis, not only understanding the chachmas haTorah that Hashem gave us, but understanding the chachma when it comes to the medical sciences to help human beings be brought back to health after they're stricken with disease, based upon all the psukim I quoted up until this point in time. So far what I mentioned to you is a davar pashut, something the halacha lamasa is quite obviously something we have to do. I also want to mention, as the Rashba says, one of his tshuvas, not only do we have a chiyuv to practice medicine, but we have a chiyuv to do some faith healing as well, and that is, say, tehillim when people are sick, to mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillos, that Hashem should grant the total refuah to this person, with the hishtalus being done medically to help them get out of their very, very big medical crisis. So chayvas atfila is something we have to do. In fact, there are the pasuk, which basically speaking alludes to this, is the fact that despite the pasuk rapi rapi, which goes upon human doctors being involved in refuos, there's a pasuk that says about Hashem, about the concept of removing of sicknesses, ani Hashem rofecha, a pasuk in Pashas B'Shalach, which is interpreted by the Rishonim to mean that the ultimate success of a doctor or the patient in a medical treatment depends upon one other major source. Not only the quality of the medical equipment or the quality of the medicines that are used or the surgical procedures, but there's one entity we have to realize is in control of everything, and that is the Rabbeinu Shalom. And therefore, any doctor who practices medicine has to pray to God each and every day, as the Rambam and others did, before they start their Avodas HaKodesh, that they should have the Siyata Deshmaya to be able to analyze what the problem is, develop a proper prognosis, a proper treatment plan to do the successful treatment in a way that will cure the patient. They have to realize, as a doctor, I'm a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is controlling and giving me the intuition how to treat a specific patient. So the doctor has to petition Hashem each and every day he's practicing with the Tfilas HaRofe. The Hashem's to give him Satya Shmai to make the right decisions. And there's a chayv on the patient to pray to Hashem every time they undergo medical treatment, Tfilas HaChole, that they should have there for the doctor making the right decisions on their behalf, treating them properly, analyzing what's going on, supervising to make sure they're cured entirely from whatever disease afflicted their body. All of this, the concept of physical medical treatment and spiritual support mechanisms, is a keim of rapi rapi, mitzad the human beings, patient and doctor, and mitzad does petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Hashem Rafech is the source for the other histadlus, as is mentioned by the Tshuvas HaRashba and the other Rishonim and Achronim in the analysis of the topic. What I want to discuss today is a couple of very important issues. And that is, how far do we have a right to involve ourselves in manipulating on a certain level the physical universe in which we live for the purposes of curing disease? So I want to start with one major statement, and that is, when it comes to treating a patient with medicines, whatever the medicine might be, or with surgeries, is there a limit how far we're allowed to go in order to treat them? So Chazal tell us, especially when you're dealing with medical treatments, whether they're surgeries or medicines that have a toxic content, in order for you to be able to use them for the purposes of treating patients and putting the patient in momentary sakana, in order to be able to use these technologies or medicines that you've created in the laboratory to be able to eradicate and get rid of the disease. And these surgeries do have a certain amount of danger in their performance. God forbid, sometimes people do die in this type of surgery. These medicines, to be toxic enough to kill the viruses, bacteria, or other things that are causing the infections, are very powerful. And therefore, they sometimes, God forbid, because of their toxic nature, some people become allergic, and it can kill certain people who are taking these medicines. But if the statistics are such that they are FDA approved, which we call in halacha a refuah baduka, that's been tried and tested and proven that most of the time it's effective to eradicate disease or to prevent disease, cure disease. Once it's a refuah baduka, you're halachically allowed, based upon the stats, a risk benefit, to be able to put the patient under momentary endangerment in order to cure them from their disease. In fact, one of the great Balatosis, Rav Chaim HaKohen, said, that's why the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Kamma of Rapi Rapi, Mekan Shintin Rishus L'Rofi L'Rapos, he interprets that to mean, what's the Rishus? That God says, I'm giving you the power to put the patient under more danger than they are up until now, to do these types of medical treatments, surgical or medical toxic medicines that are given to the patient. Whatever is needed to cure the patient, you have my divine permission, as long as the refuah baduka, to do it as part of the concept of the mitzvah deraisa of curing people from disease, both mitzad the patient and both mitzad the doctor himself. What I'm dealing with today is one step further, and that is, do we have a problem if we've analyzed the natural law on how, when it comes to the human being's body? And by now we have analyzed the natural law to the point that many years ago there was the famous genome project that was, the purpose was to identify all the genes that are contained in the genome of a human being's body. The numbers are literally incredible when it comes to how many genes we have in our body to produce our human body and to keep the body functioning during our lifetime. To be able to understand the DNA, to understand the concept of the actual parts of the genome itself, we're talking about over here, quite obviously speaking, the minute particles that make up the actual cell structures of the various cells in our body itself. We know, quite obviously speaking, that there are chromosomes that we have as human beings, 46 chromosomes in our each and every cell of our body, that was called the somatic cells. We know for a fact that that besides the actual chromosomes, there are genes that are in control of these chromosomes. All of this is encompassing the DNA. Every human being who's created has their own 46 chromosomes, 23 chromosomes they get from their mother's egg, 23 chromosomes they get from their father's sperm. When conception takes place, it forms a cell of 46 chromosomes, 50% from your father, 50% from your mother, which ultimately becomes the DNA of your body and the genome that you're being given to by your parents, that also give you certain qualities, b'teiros yusha, what existed in the physiological essence of your parents is transferred over b'yerusha by this genetic contribution to you. But besides that, personality traits, intelligence, a lot of other qualities they have, also transferred over by this genomic transfer from generation to generation. On a spiritual level, there's even a spiritual genome that's been transferred to us. Chazal say, even going back to the time of the Avos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, they're called the Avos of Klal Yisrael, because their spiritual genome was given over to Yerusha from generation to generation, from the time of the Avos up until our present generation to the end of time. So genetics is a very important part when it comes to seeing the subatomic particles that make up the essence and the functional parts that cause our body to function. And normally Hashem programmed them to work in a certain way to make sure that we're able to eat and sleep, we're able to reproduce, we're able to use our mind, to be able to figure out things, able to compose written documents of our machshava, both in the scientific world, in the spiritual world, the intellectual world. We have a lot of talents and kochas Hashem gave us by not only the physical attributes given by a father and mother, but by the Tzelem HaKim Hashem gives every human being at the time of their birth, the three partners, the human beings, the father and mother give the physiological genome to their progeny, and the Rabban Hashem gives us the unique Tzelem HaKim, he gives to each and every human being, and the Klal Yisrael's genome when it comes to their spiritual genome, of the Tzelem HaKim is a higher level, which we got because of Kedush Yisrael and Kabbalah Satorah. This all makes up the human being from beginning to end. What I want to deal with very specifically when genetic engineering is, how far can we manipulate natural law for the sake of Rapi Yarape? How far can we go? Now, the reason I'm asking this is because there is a halacha in the Torah called the Iser of Kalayim, of mixing species between one creature and another creature, basically hybridizing animals, two different types of animals together, grafting different plants, from different types of fruits and vegetables and trying to make a new entity by doing grafting. All of this stuff that is mentioned, quite obviously in the Torah, that's prohibited, there's a mitzvah, you're able to do it. And therefore, you see that there's a constant lemineh, when Hashem, as the Ramban said, created the universe, he wanted the species to maintain the precise species specification Hashem gave them at the time of Bria. So, and that's why in Bria, every part of the Bria said Limineo, according to its unique genetic species, that's the way I want them to remain. There's the Isa to mix the different species together. The Ramban says, number one, besides violating Alav in the Torah, by violating Kalayim, or the Kalay Zerayim, Kalay Kerem, or quite obviously grafting two plants together, or causing two animals to basically come together and literally create a third type of species of animal. All of this comes under the Isa Darais of Kalayim, and you're being machish by Masa Breish, where Hashem set up the system, the supervisory system, when it comes to the kochas of the Shemayim coming down and influence the creatures Hashem created below. If you start mixing up the system, this can cause an undermining of the Masa Breishis, and is biblically prohibited. Is our manipulation of the natural law that we have, that Hashem created, Masa Breishis, is this a violation of the Isur of Kalayim? And what I want you to know, that this question was argued back in the 1960s and 1970s. One specific Rav of Hirshla, a famous metaphysicist, wanted to perhaps say, based upon the Ramban, maybe manipulation genetically of the natural law and going deep into that natural law manipulation might be a violation of the Isur of Kalayim. Rav Arbach, Rav Yashav, and all the other Gadolim said, but you're forgetting that Ramban. There's another Ramban, which I just mentioned before, dealing with Kibush Olam, Pashas Bereishis. And that seems to say that we have the permissibility to manipulate natural law for the sake of medical cure and helping mankind at large. They therefore came to a conclusion, the Isur of Kalayim is basically changing species for the sake of changing species, whether it's animal species, agricultural species, human species. Changing species by mixing different species together is what the biblical prohibition is. But using genetic manipulation to manipulate natural law of the actual physical universe which we live for the purpose of creating all types of medical cures for all types of disease on every type of level, as far as these Gedolim are concerned, manipulating natural law for the sake of refuos and yeshuos for people who need these medical cures, even though you might be manipulating natural law, as I'm going to describe very shortly, through genetic engineering, this comes under Kibush Olam, which is a mitzvah, Kloli Deraisa. Number two, under Rapi Arape, the concept of Hashavas Avedas Aguf. There's Isa not to do with Lasamar Al Damriacha. And therefore, the Hashkaf has been, at least in our Torah community, who know these Mekaros, that we're becoming a shut of Hashem by Masa Bereishis, even though some of the stuff might be a little dangerous. But nevertheless, the heter of Rapi Rapi allows us, if it's a refu beduka, to use it and try to cure the person from disease or prevent disease based upon the Chachmas Hamada that we have today based upon all the technology we have developed over the last couple of years. Now, with that in mind, let me give into a history. When it comes to genetic engineering, initially, who is used in the field of fertility and capacities. If a person could not impregnate his wife in the normal process, they first develop artificial insemination. They then developed, after that, in vitro fertilization as a way of circumventing certain impediments that the body might have, not allowing them to produce children naturally. For instance, if there's a blockage in the fallopian tubes and the sperm and egg can't meet for the purpose of conception to take place, you harvest the sperm, you harvest the egg out of the body, put it into a petri dish, into a laboratory, this is called the test tube baby, allow the sperm and egg to combine over there, grow that specific cell that's undergoing mitosis for 5 days, make it into what's called in the medical literature the blastocyst stage of the development of this conception of the cell, of the husband-wife's sperm and egg coming together and the 46 chromosome cell developing into a blastocyst. The blastocyst has an outer cell mass that connects to the uterine wall, and it has an inner cell mass from which all the other organs of the body and tissue, 200 tissue types, automatically can basically start to develop. And at 9 months in the body itself, a full-fledged human being is born, comes out with all of this technology Hashem put in to the Chachma of Maaseh Bereishis taking place automatically. What we're doing when it comes to these types of technologies is really not really the genetic engineering I'm going to discuss tonight and this morning. It's basically a form of taking what already exists and literally allowing them to connect in a way outside the laboratory, but we're not changing the essence of the sperm, we're not changing the essence of the egg, we're just allowing them to come together in a different medium, then implanting them back into the uterus, and they themselves then connect to the uterine wall, and from that point on, the gestation takes place automatically for the next 9 months. In the time of antiquity, in the early 1970s, 1980s, people used to refer to this as genetic engineering. Interesting, fascinating. One thing I will tell you, that when it comes to IVF, if you want to become a little specific, one of the interesting phenomena in IVF was, is that if they only find one sperm of the husband available for the purpose of impregnation, and they don't want to take a chance, they would therefore take this sperm from the man's body that's been found to be perfect, one egg from his wife's body, and literally do a micro-injection, insert the sperm directly into the egg, allowing them to combine without any type of chance, maybe it will, maybe it won't, to cause a conception to take place. All of this is done in the laboratory, and then the blastocyst that's developed from that 5 days later is then inserted into the body for the purpose of creating a baby. I mean, that's the closest you come to some type of genetic on a cellular level of a sperm and egg being combined by human intervention rather than letting it happen by itself. But the real concept of genetic engineering became a real interesting chachma in the following tekufa. And that is couples who were basically involved in infertility treatments, what they usually did is they didn't just want to create one potential blastocyst for the purposes of fertilization artificially. They decided that since it's such an expensive type of phenomenon, they used to superovulate the wife, allowing you to produce not one ovum, but multiple ovaries, let's say 10 or 15, by superovulating the actual ovaries itself. They produce many different ova that month. You collect them to outside the body, put them into a petri dish with millions of sperm of the husband, and lo and behold, most of them, quite obviously, will have some type of sperm entering the egg itself. You'll have prezygotes developed in the laboratory. They grew them to a certain stage to be blastocysts. Two or three were placed into the woman's uterus for the purpose that hopefully one of them should connect to the uterine wall and the baby should be created. The other ones were frozen away in special laboratories and liquid nitrogen and such to keep them in suspended animation for future purposes of then taking them out of that freezing medium and basically bring down to room temperature and then implanting them later on. You don't have to keep on replicating this process over and over again, which is very costly. The thing is that if you produce 10 or 15 types of blastocysts in this type of IVF procedure, and you have a lot still stored away, and you basically have now by now 6-7 babies by this, and you have 8, let's say, high blastocysts that are not going to be used anymore. So the medical world said, instead of throwing them away and getting rid of them, give them to us, because we have a good idea. We're going to develop a technology called stem cell research. And in stem cell research, we're now coming to another form of medical cure that really gets now into genetic manipulation and engineering. What they do in this stem cell research is they're trying to take this blastocyst that will never be used to create a baby, cut it open, take out the inner cell mass, and by technological capacities we have in a laboratory, be able to manipulate the genetic louvers that are on the chromosomes to change these specific cells into the various tissue types that comprise a human body. I mean, the blastocyst is called, the medical literature, a totipotent cell, total potency for creating of a baby, and quite obviously having the ability to do what it has to do to bring human being into existence. When you basically take out the inner cell mass, they're called now pluripotent cells, and the idea is to take these pluripotent cells and to maneuver the various genetic louvers on the chromosomes, the DNA there, to turn and become cardiac cells in the laboratory, or nerve cells, or liver cells, kidney cells. The idea being is you want to be able to create tissue, body tissue, using human DNA for the purposes of curing disease. For instance, a person has a cardiac problem, and the tissue of his heart, because of either bacteria or viral infections, is causing this tissue of the heart to slowly but surely become sick to the point that it's not capable of causing, being able to function as heart material anymore, which is therefore going to cause a capability of the heart to do what it has to do, because the regular cardiac tissue is slowly but surely disintegrating before the eyes because it's unfortunately infected by different types of disease mechanisms. If you're able to create cardiac tissue in a laboratory by stem cell research and manipulating these cells to turn into cardiac tissue and able then to inject this specific tissue into the heart to replace the diseased cardiac tissue with healthy tissue created in a laboratory, then quite obviously you're able to cure disease, prevent the heart from ever going that sick and being that disabled. And the myla of doing that is to therefore lessen the need to have transplant surgery for hearts later on. If I can cure the heart in location and make sure it gets back to its healthy functionality, and I never let the disease spread to make the heart totally dysfunctional, I don't have to have a replacement heart later on. Because in this world, even though we have the technology to give a heart transplant, a lung transplant, the amount of hearts and lungs that are available for people who need them, you're talking about thousands and thousands of people all vying for the same organ. That's not a way of taking care of the world population. But if I'm able to take care of the diseased tissue in the heart or the lung and recreate it in a laboratory and inject it into the person's body, where the location of the disease is, and to eradicate the diseased tissue and put healthy tissue, I'll never have a need for a heart transplant. So I'll never have a need for a lung transplant because I'll cure the actual machla in place. One of the first laboratories in the world, if you want to have some Yiddish and Achas, that was successful in stem cell research, and especially when it comes to cardiac development, is the Technion in Eretz Israel. They were the first to develop the actual technological ability to create cardiac tissue and therefore use it later on to treat the diseased tissue in the heart, Baruch Hashem. And the fact is, this has been used in other types of creation of other materials when it comes to nerve tissue, when it comes to liver tissue, kidney tissue, even bone tissue for the purposes of trying to cure the problem of the disease of broken area and have new cells take the place to correct the problem that exists. This already is genetic manipulation you're doing in a laboratory. But the only problem is that even though this technology is great and it's being worked on to try to help people cure themselves in this way, total FDA approval has not been given in all the areas yet, but there's another problem. And that is when you put anybody else's DNA into your body, no matter what the purpose is, your body has an immune system, and the immune system automatically rejects this as foreign material, and therefore normally should kill any foreign cardiac material, for instance, you put into a person's body who's not his to cure the heart. That should be foreign material, which your immune system should kill. So what you have to know is anytime anybody undergoes the stem cell research technology of putting this stuff in, or for that matter, anytime you receive somebody else's heart or lungs in those transplants or livers or kidneys, you have to give the person immunosuppressant drugs to hold down their immune system so that it should not kill the new organs or tissue being placed inside, or else the person cannot be benefited by these surgeries and these toxic technologies. The problem with this type of technology is that if you do that, the immune system will not be able to fight if it's being suppressed by drugs, fight normal viruses and bacteria that come into the body, and you might come to a catch-22 situation where if the immune system is basically being compromised because of this type of medicine, you might try to save the organ, but the virus and bacteria will kill you. And if you stop the immunosuppressant drugs, you might get rid of the bacteria and viruses, but the organs or the tissue that's in your body from foreign sources will be destroyed. So the medical community wanted, when it comes to genetic engineering, go to the next level. So what they did is they developed another technology, which is surely genetic engineering, called somatic cell nuclear transfer. Imagine the following activity. The following activity is, this person has a need for cardiac cells. He doesn't want to use somebody else's cardiac cells from blastocysts. He wants his own. How can you do that? So if it's a viral bacterial infection that's causing him problems with the heart, what you can do is you can take a somatic cell of this person. This is genetic engineering. And imagine taking a skin cell that is own is very, very small into a laboratory and extracting from this specific cell the nucleus. You take the nucleus of this cell that has the 23 chromosomes of this human being, this like this man, for instance, but taking his skin cell. And in the laboratory, you're taking any egg cell you have available. You denucleate, you take the nucleus of the egg out. You implant into the egg the nucleus of the skin cell, the somatic cell you just harvested. And all of a sudden, the egg feels it has now 46 chromosomes. It doesn't realize this wasn't pure conception. This was you artificially putting the person's 46 chromosomes into an egg. The egg thinks now it has undergone conception, undergoes mitosis. 5 days later on, you've created a blastocyst. And the inner cell mass of all that tissue now is a carbon copy of the person's somatic cells that you took the nucleus from initially. In a laboratory, maneuvering these types of cells to make cardiac cells for the purposes of implantation, will then not be needing any type of immune suppressing drug, because the DNA in these cells is going to be your own DNA. Therefore, you've eliminated the need of using immunosuppressing drugs to have the cell thrive and be able to, quite obviously, take place and catch appropriately in the body itself. One of the things on in the medical world of scientific reality that's going to be done in the future, imagine using a 3D printer using these cells you create in the laboratory to create replacement organs, creating a replacement kidney or liver, replacement heart. Just think of the different possibilities. If we develop that technology, you will not need to have anybody give you a heart or lungs in the future. We'll be able to use the somatic cell nuclear transfer and getting those materials of those cells needed from the interior of that cell, the blastocyst, into a laboratory. Using 3D printing, you'll be able to make a replication of their heart using different types of mechanisms of creating that tissue, and therefore make a replication of the heart with their own DNA, not needing immunosuppressant drugs. This is all on the possibility of the future. The interesting phenomenon is, in the world of halacha, when the question was posed to Gedolei HaTorah, like of Arbach and of Yashav and others, whether this is permissible, are we manipulating nature too much? The answer is, natural law was given to us for the purposes of usage, understanding, and even manipulation when the need be. So we have to manipulate the natural law for the sake of curing disease or preventing disease or helping a person survive based upon accidents they might have. Whatever we need comes under Rabbi Rappe, comes under Kibush Olam, and therefore Halach Lamaset is permissible. I'm going to tell you an interesting chiddush you should be aware of, and that is if you want to know, Ashrei Matel V'Chalkeinu, we have the Torah at our disposal, given to us by the Rabbanu Shem, Torah Shem Ksav and Torah Shavar Peh, that defines the parameters of all the phenomena that relate to our life, especially when it comes to medical care. The Christian world, you should know, does not allow them to do stem cell research because they claim the destruction of a blastocyst in a laboratory is an abortion. Halacha tells us that that's not true either for a Jew or for a non-Jew. The blastocyst only becomes an issue of abortion once it's implanted into the wife's body and connects to the uterus. It's in that specific location that the soul, the neshama, the ensoulment is given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as the blastocyst is still in the body, still in a laboratory being created artificially, it might have the DNA of the mother and father in it, the physical materials of the chromosomes, and the genetics, but the actual neshama that makes it into an entity that prohibits the use of abortion, of shvichas dam, of etzelem elokim, that only happens once it's inserted into the human body. So we hold halacha lamaaseh, and I told this to even Christian scholars, that taking a blastocyst to make this type of stem cell research, a somatosynuclear transfer, has nothing to do with abortion. Therefore, it could be used by Jew and non-Jew alike. Ashreinu Matel Chachena, we have the guidance of our Torah to teach us this, but the non-Jewish world who doesn't have that guidance, so far many of them have not been convinced and deny their billions of followers the inability to use this type of technology I just mentioned to you. All of this, according to Gedolei HaPoskim, the manipulation of natural in this specific level, comes under there for Rapeh Rapeh, HaShavosalah, the Kiyam of Kibush HaOlam, on one of the highest levels. This is the Chochma Hashem gave us a mass separation when it comes to this type of manipulation, even on a genetic level, when you're basically dealing now with the genes themselves, dealing with nucleus, dealing with obviously switching nuclei from one cell to another cell. This is really high-tech type of genetic engineering, which is halachically permissible. When this becomes a real geshmak or refu beduka, this will then be able to be publicized and utilized worldwide as something you're able to do to fight disease, to cure disease, and perhaps to prevent disease in the future. Let me go one step further. When it comes to the manipulation of the genome, I will tell you one very interesting fact, and that is what I just described to you works if the diseased tissue of your body is based upon a virus or based upon bacteria. What happens if the diseased tissue is based upon a genetic defect that you have in your body that probably happened at the time of your birth, or perhaps because of environmental phenomenon was caused to develop this imperfection later on in your life? So what happens when it's a genetic defect? You can use these types of technologies for the purposes of stem cell research or somatic cell nuclear transfer to cure the disease, because every cell you're taking from this person's body, it might not be diseased yet, but it has the potential diseased genetic tissue there. If you try to make tissue to replace the diseased tissue that is developing, for instance, in the heart, based upon genetic problems, you're not going to help the heart because the material you're creating in the laboratory has the same genetic defect. So these types of technologies, so far in their development, can't deal with the genetic defect. However, Ashreinu Matel V'Chalkeinu, Hashem gave the Chochmah to mankind to do further research, we've now come to a new level of trying to cure disease called the concept of CRISPR technology. This technology is quite fascinating. What we're able, at least theoretically, to do now, and this has been done on the animal kingdom so far, is by the fact we're able to have literally found and been able to delineate the entire genome of animals, the entire genome of a human being. We therefore know exactly how the DNA and all the various parts of the genetics of this specific DNA, and as well as the chromosomes, we know how they all work together, how to find them. And there are machines today that can analyze the actual genetic makeup of every human being who submits their biological material to this machine for it to analyze your genome. The chachma of this specific machine therefore allows you to be aware, are there any types of mutations in the genetics of your body that would cause various diseases to take place in the future based upon these things that you possess as a genetic defect. What we're able to do with CRISPR technology, and Me'at Hashem in the future as it becomes more developed, we've done this with animals, what I'm telling you, but it can be done with human beings as the science becomes a refu beduka. We're able, using CRISPR technology and the mechanisms connected with it, to be able to go into your genome and to locate the exact location where your genome has this defective gene that's causing this type of genetic disease. Not only can we locate the specific location, but we're able at the same point in time to cut out that defective gene and to do a genetic transplant from a healthy gene, from a healthy person's body, to replace your defective gene, to slowly but surely change your entire genome, that the defective gene in your body for this specific sickness is totally eradicated, making your genome now totally free from any type of deficiency that happened at this point in time. This genetic mechanism that has tremendous, tremendous ability to accomplish what I just described to you has been proved effective in the animal kingdom when it's being used. ultimately, when the medical community feels it's been perfected, they'll start doing it with human beings. But it has the possibility of curing every genetic disease on the face of this earth by causing a transplant of a defective gene to be replaced by a healthy gene from another human being. When the Gedolei HaPoskim, who I mentioned before, Rav Arbach Yoshua, asked whether we can do this type of genetic transplants, they point out if we allow human body transplants, pieces of your body to be transplanted from person to person to cure disease, then there should be no reason we shouldn't allow the genetic manipulation to take place as well. And they gave the psak, this comes under Rapi Rapi, Kibish Olam, etc., etc. So when the therapy becomes available, halacha masa, you can use it and cure disease by doing such. And therefore, halacha masa, you're able now, hopefully, with CRISPR technology, to be able to develop the ability to cure genetic defects, and therefore using what I mentioned before, the concept of trying to give a person the ability to cure themselves from a disease syndrome, this technology will be able to take the disease gene out of your body, replace it with a healthy gene, so you'll never develop the genetic defect to the point that it starts to threaten your existence and kill you. And for that reason, you'll be able to prevent disease from becoming a disease and cure the person. One of the most interesting places, I'll give you an example of this, is the Tay-Sachs disease. The Tay-Sachs disease is based upon a recessive gene that you have in your body, that this gene itself, which normally is in control of removing various types of impurities and fatty substances from the cells, cleaning it out, that you're born with a defective gene that does not accomplish this. And what happens is, even though when the baby is born, the baby looks 100% perfect, but over the next 5 years, as the body develops inability to eradicate the various toxins and impurities that develop in the cell, because this specific gene is not functioning properly, it's going to poison the genes in your body, poison the cells of your body, and slowly but surely, the child's going to die by 4 and 5 with a Misa Mishuni because of the way Tay-Sachs works. Imagine the following, that if we're able to use CRISPR technology to locate the defective gene when the child's born, or perhaps even to detect the defective gene even when the baby's still in utero, and be able to use this CRISPR technology to clean out the baby's system from this defective gene that causes Tay-Sachs, and give it the ability to be born, or once it's born, to be able to be eradicated, to have that this defective gene should no longer be there. This baby will never have the Tay-Sachs syndrome affecting it. It'll be a healthy baby and live to 120 years. This technology has the ability, if it's perfected, to accomplish this specific feat. And this could be with any type of genetic disease that so far has been found to be incurable up until this point in time. If able to basically cure the genome by putting in a healthy gene to replace the defective gene, we'll be able to eradicate all genetic disease from the face of this world as the science develops. It's an incredible phenomenon. I will mention something else we do today before this phenomenon of Tay-Sachs is basically ultimately eradicated, is today we have genetic testing, which Moshe Feinstein was asked many years ago, whether we should test our sons and daughters for genetic defects before they get married. Rav Moshe felt like other gedolim, if they're not genetically matched properly, if they both have a defect and will cause a genetic defect like Tay-Sachs to be transferred to the baby, if mother and father both have the defect, it might not impact upon them, but only when they have the gene multiplied by two, by the father and mother connecting to it, does the syndrome of Tay-Sachs become activated. So if you're able to detect they don't have matching, if they do have matching Tay-Sachs defects, so Maharaj says it's not about Shet or Shidduch, that's why you should test them, to prevent them having this Agnes Nefesh later on. But what happens if they didn't know this testing, or the testing wasn't available, and they got married, and then it was diagnosed that possibly they can produce Tay-Sachs babies? What do you do then? Is there another way of dealing with this problem? So believe it or not, with genetic engineering today, we do have the ability to perform a technology called pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, PGD. And what they're able to do, if a couple knows that they both have the Tay-Sachs factor that can cause the creation of a Tay-Sachs baby, the stats tell us that 25% of the babies they produce will be Tay-Sachs afflicted, 75% will not ever have the disease impact upon the body because it won't be created based upon the genetic makeup of their specific body. So what do you do in a case like this? So you're able, by using in vitro fertilization, to harvest the sperm and egg of the wife, put into the laboratory, and allow the sperm and egg to combine. And then after they've grown a couple of days and literally split into 8 cells, you're able then to take a cell out of each and every one of the prezygotes and look under very high power microscopes whether or not they have the Tay-Sachs disease factor or not. And those which have the Tay-Sachs factor, you'll discard and we are not used for the purposes of implantation. 25% usually do. The other 75% will be totally free from the disease syndrome. And those are the ones you're going to basically reimplant into the wife later on, like a regular IVF procedure. A baby will not be a Tay-Sachs baby. You'll be able to prevent the disease baby from being produced by this couple, even though they're a mismatch when it comes to the DNA, when it comes specifically to the Tay-Sachs problem. This is already available on the marketplace. And many couples who never had the testing, didn't know about the testing, there wasn't an ability to have this testing, have been able to avoid the creation of Tay-Sachs children by this type of technology. This is also, you're manipulating quite obviously through genetic analysis and manipulation to basically perfect which specific zygote will produce a genetic defective baby and which will not. We have this science already available to us, and it's being used today to help couples that have this specific problem. One thing I will tell you, to use genetic manipulation when it comes to creating designer babies, where you want a baby to have a certain color skin, a certain color eyes, this feature, that feature, intellectually, physically, that the scientific community has said we're not involved in creating Frankenstein babies. We're not using this for the purpose of creating new types of human beings which have total perfection on every quality. We're using this technology for the purposes of fighting disease and eliminating disease, not to try to experiment on the human species to make human beings that are super-duper human beings by manipulating genetic engineering. That so far is a big no-no in the community of the scientists of the world at large, and Baruch Hashem, I hope it stays that way, because you don't want to cause that type of problem to happen. I will mention that in the animal kingdom, we do use a process that's called cloning, in which we're able to take the genetics of one lamb and another lamb and could obviously create a super lamb by doing such. The Dolly experiment is a classic example, using a somatic cell nuclear transfer to accomplish this. And what you ultimately do is you create a lamb that has all the major qualities of the lamb you want to replicate. In the world of raising animals, cloning animals is practiced today. Cloning human beings is not, for one simple reason. If by the animal there's a failure in the clone, you can put the animal to sleep as part of the treatment plan, because you don't want the animal to suffer physiologically tzar b'alechaim the rest of their life. So the Gedolim who dealt with this topic, that this, as it says, you put the animal to sleep to make sure this animal will not be inside the rest of life because of this experiment. Killing an animal for the sake of its own Tzar Bar Chaim is permissible. But when it comes to creating human beings, which later on end up being Frankenstein models of a human being, you can't just kill babies because you don't like the way they look or the way they're functioning. So if that's the case, we don't want to do cloning on human beings. So far, there's a worldwide ban on it. And hopefully they'll continue that ban, because we don't want people to use this technology inappropriately and cause the destruction of human beings inappropriately, which is the Issa D'Oraisa of abortion, one of the major prohibitions contained in the Torah. What I've given you in the last couple of minutes is a survey of genetic engineering, the positive things, but what you should realize is according to Torah Hashgaf and Torah law, if it's done for the purposes of preventing disease, curing disease, using genetic engineering to make all different types of insulin and other medicines that you have to use genetic manipulation to accomplish this. Whatever is needed for the sake of the benefit of mankind in a constructive way, especially when it comes to fighting disease or preventing disease, this comes under, as I pointed out, Rapi Rapi, the concept of Kibbutz She'olam. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given us the Chacham, the ability with Atzel Malakim, to figure all of this out, to figure out how it works. Our job is to use it in a constructive, beneficial, and in a responsible fashion. But we have to remember at the end of the day, as I mentioned in the beginning, that all the things we do in our chachma, in medicine, as far as our hishtadlus as human beings, we need to mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should give us the siyata d'shmaya to make the right decisions of how to use these technologies and how to develop these technologies and how to benefit mankind with these medical technologies. We need the siyata d'shmaya for the implementation of these technologies and the successful, you know, fulfillment of the technology, accomplishing what they're supposed to accomplish. We're now in a very historical period of time. One thing I will tell you that will whet your appetite, the Vilna Gaon said in one of his major shmuas that a scientific phenomenon, especially in the world of medicine, become more and more disclosed to mankind, and this happens on very intense levels. This is a siman that we're coming to the end of days, we're coming to Yemos HaMashiach. As we come closer and closer, medical technologies will develop even quicker and quicker. In the last 100 years plus, we've developed medical technologies now that for thousands of years before we did not have available. So according to the Gaon, we're living now in a tekufa, where the medical technology in his galus of Briyas Olam, the Chachma Briyas Olam, is being disclosed to mankind. That is the prelude Chazal said is going to precede the ultimate coming of the Mashiach, the redemption of the world, and the ability for the world to go to the next stage of Briyat Olam, the Tchis HaMesim, and Olam Haba. We're now holding in a very critical stage with hope and pray we'll be able to see the Yeshuas Hashem, Keref Ayin of Klal Yisrael, the world at large, the eradication of disease, which Chazal say will take place upon the coming of Tichias HaMesim and the Olam Haba afterwards, and the ability to be able to use our time in Kaichais, ultimately speaking, not only to basically give us our physical existence in this world, but to increase our spiritual existence, immersing ourselves with more time available in Torah and mitzvahs, coming close to the Hashem by Sidbach to develop the ultimate divakes between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu for eternity. Thank you for listening today. Have a wonderful day. And I hope this year gave you a little enlightenment what's doing in the world today and how our Chachmas HaTorah and the Heta of the Torah gives the ability to utilize it in a productive, constructive way for the purposes of refuah of Kol Olam Kula.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.